much. It's been wonderful for me to be sitting with two of your grandchildren tonight. I'm enjoying Avery and Rush very much and enjoy being back here in Iowa. Of course, the first and foremost reason I'm here is to celebrate the birthday of the man who, after November 4th, is going to be the longest serving governor in the history of the United States, Governor Terry Bradshaw. You know, and that's why I don't get at all insulted, Kim, when you say he's the hardest working governor in America. He's getting ready to win his sixth term as governor of Iowa. I am exhausted just thinking about that. And I was saying this just 2 days ago in my office in New Jersey to one of Governor Branstad's former colleagues from New Jersey, Governor Tom Kaine, who he served with when he first became governor of Iowa. And I said, you know, the amazing thing about Terry Branstad is that I don't know how enthusiastic he was back in the 80s, but I can't imagine that he's more enthusiastic then than he is right now. I've never seen anybody more focused on winning a race. He wants to win from the top of the ticket to the bottom of the ticket, and we need to help him do it. So, Governor, happy birthday. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation. And I am very grateful to be back here in Iowa. I was thrilled to come here 4 years ago and campaign for Governor Branstad and soon to be Lieutenant Governor Reynolds. I was really quite overwhelmed, as I've told many of you over time, to actually get the phone call to have Governor Terry Branstad ask me to come in and campaign for him. I'd barely been governor for 9 months, and I was being asked by Terry Branstad to come and help campaign with him in Iowa. It was an extraordinary honor then, and it still is. And that's why, you know, folks ask me why I'm coming to Iowa so much. Well, it's because Terry Branstad asked me to come to Iowa. And when Terry Branstad asks you to come to Iowa, you do not say no. Definitely not. So, you know, if you're not tired of seeing me after tonight, I'll be back on Thursday. And we'll be with Terry and the Lieutenant Governor again on Thursday, bringing this to a conclusion, a successful conclusion. And I want to thank Joni Ernst. She is battling one of the toughest races for the United States Senate in America. The liberal Democratic smear machine has been all over her, and they have messed with the wrong woman, everybody. Take that for a guy from Jersey. I can guarantee you they have messed with the wrong woman. We have a few tough women in New Jersey too. I know them when I see them. And she is going to be an outstanding United States Senator. I've never seen Senator Grassley smile more in 30 minutes. But he's been smiling knowing that he's going to have Joni Ernst at his side come January this year. Boy, don't we need it. Don't we need it? You know, I've been traveling, as the Lieutenant Governor said, to 35 states since December 1st. I'll go to 20 different states just in this month of October. And in fact, in the next 4 days, I'll be to 14 different states to campaign for Republicans running for governor. And just a week ago, I was in Florida, where I'm heading to tonight to help Governor Rick Scott. And I met an 80-year-old woman in Vero Beach who came up to me and said what I think has been the most profound thing I've heard in these last 11 months now from a citizen as I campaigned around the country. She shook my hand and she said, "Governor, tell me, what's happened to our country? We used to control events. Now events control us." You know, if you think about every aspect of American life right now, that's exactly right. America used to control events both here at home and around the world. And now it seems that our fate is being dictated to us by others. And it's not because the American people are any less smart than we used to be. It's not because we have any less ingenuity. It's not because we have any less integrity. It's not because we have any less energy. It's not because we're not working even harder today than we have before. I would suggest to you it's because we have an extraordinary vacuum of leadership in this country, and people both inside America and outside America no longer know what America stands for. No longer knows what America is willing to fight for. No longer knows where we're willing to draw the line. Nowhere knows where we're ready to put our hand down and say enough. And it's because of the lack of leadership that we have in the White House. It has been 6 long years, but I bring you good news. There are only 2 more years left. Governor Branstad has shown us how to do that in Iowa. He's a strong leader who speaks his mind, who thinks through problems, who reaches his hand across the aisle and works with everyone. That is not a sign of weakness, everyone. That is a sign of strength and confidence. And by doing that, he has accomplished things for the people of Iowa. Accomplished things that many people thought were impossible. And the reason many of them think it's impossible is because they look at Washington, D.C. and see nothing good happening for our country. We all know that we need our tax system reformed and changed to have growth and prosperity and revenue invested by private sector companies back in our economy to create jobs. We all know how it should be done. This president refuses to lead. In fact, he is the obstructionist in chief in Washington, D.C., to reforming our tax system and growing our economy again. We know that we need an energy policy in this country that takes advantage of the extraordinary natural resources that we have and that our neighbors both to the north and south have, that together the North American continent could not only change the economic future of ourselves and the world, but the North American continent could bring peace and prosperity to the rest of the world. But the president would rather stand shoulder to shoulder with radical environmentalists rather than giving us an energy policy we need. We need to have a smart and cogent American energy policy so that we can grow our economy and make the world a safer place. We're not depending on oil from around the world. Judges who know that their job is not to make the law, who know that they're not legislators in black robes, but who understand that their job is to interpret the laws passed by the people who are voted on to do that job, both in the legislative and executive branch. This president has given us a judicial system and an executive branch out of control without respect for the Constitution. Terry Branstad would never allow that in Iowa. I wouldn't allow it in New Jersey. And we need to stop allowing it in the United States of America. And believe me, I'm not just talking about these things as hypotheticals. I mean, for goodness sake, if I could do some of this stuff in New Jersey, believe me, it can be done anywhere. I have a 24-16 deficit in the state senate, a 48-32 deficit in the lower house. I wake up every morning knowing I'm not going to get everything I want. But that is not an excuse for inaction, and that's not an excuse for failure. This president blames everybody else. Believe me, I can have plenty of people to blame in New Jersey if I wanted to, but instead, we've done it differently. We've rolled up our sleeves. We've made friends with people. It's been worth making friends with on both sides of the aisle, and we have fought hard against those people who only want to make politics their goal and not good policy and accomplishment for the people of the state where I live. Those are the kind of things that you need to do, and this president has refused to do that. That's why the country is hungering for leadership and why they look at someone like Governor Terry Branstad and say, well, for goodness sakes, if he can do that in Iowa, why can't we demand that be done in Washington, D.C.? We should and we will over the next 2 years. See, worse yet, that plague us inside our country. Worse than the lack of accomplishment in Washington, D.C., and the frustration that our people feel is what's happening around the world. America is not being respected around the world the way we used to be. And we're not being respected because we no longer mean what we say and say what we mean. And we have a president who draws a red line in Syria and then says, never mind, I didn't mean it. We have a president who doesn't stand strong and stand hard for our allies in Israel. It makes that place more insecure. When we have folks around the world who wonder any longer, what's it really mean to be a friend of the United States? And what will the United States do in return for our friendship? That never, never had to be worried about in the past administration. Everyone knew where George W. Bush stood and who he stood with. And we've now had 6 years where the world has been adrift because of the lack and failure of American leadership. This doesn't mean we need to be the world's policemen. It doesn't. But we need to be the example for the world again of a government that functions well and efficiently and effectively at home, and a people that stands for freedom and liberty around the world, and all of us deciding that our way of life is a way of life that we want once again for people around the world to aspire to. Not to have imposed upon them, but to have them aspire to. I will end with this. You know, we think sometimes when we're in the middle of crises like we're in the middle of right now in the United States, that these are really bad times, that these are times that we haven't faced before in our country in this way, but we have. We have many different times. And it's been the choice of those people alive during that time as to whether they would accept failure or whether they wouldn't. No generation before ours has ever broken that greatest compact that we have as Americans, which is we will do all that needs to be done, all that needs to be done to leave this place better for our children and grandchildren and us, that we will bequeath to them a greater America, a stronger America, a more prosperous America, a better and more noble America than the one that was given to us by our parents and grandparents. Every generation of Americans over the last nearly 240 years has met that challenge. That challenge is what's before us right now. I know that's why people like Joni Ernst run for the United States Senate, because she feels that obligation, that commitment that we have to make things better. And nearing the 50th anniversary of our country's founding, one of our founders was concerned that America was adrift, not respected around the world, and not operating at home. His name was John Adams. And as he neared his death on the 50th anniversary of America's birth, he wrote in his diary for us, for posterity, because of his concerns. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, "You shall never know the sacrifices that were made to secure for you your liberty. I pray you'll make a good use of it. For if you do not, I shall repent in heaven for ever having made the sacrifice at all." John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, the founders of this country, saying words like that at a time of crisis and challenge in America. As Adams looks from heaven tonight to us, is he preparing to repent for having made the sacrifice at all? I suggest to you that if we support leaders like the ones up here for election in Iowa at the top of this ticket, this governor, this lieutenant governor, this fabulous United States Senate candidate, that we give ourselves an opportunity to keep that compact. We give ourselves an opportunity to proudly hand the torch of this country's future over to the next generation and be able to look at them honestly and say, we have done all that needs to be done. Now it's your turn. Let us not allow Adams, let us not require Adams to repent in heaven for having sacrificed to create for us this greatest country in the world and the wonderful liberty we enjoy. That's why we run for public office. That's why we make the sacrifices we do as Americans, because we not only have that obligation, but we have infinite opportunity. Iowa is a place that represents that. Represents that not only in the beauty of this state, but also in the strength and the character of its leaders. And I'm here tonight to honor one of those extraordinary leaders. It is my honor to be here to honor him. And so, Governor, thank you for the extraordinary leadership you have provided both to this state and to our nation. And most of all, thank you for being my friend. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.